Isn't today great? Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
It's a targeted blend of music and musings on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? We'll take on the cultural cacophony in the week that almost was. We'll take on TV, you know, with the revisions of Roseanne and Will and Grace. I'm thinking, what other popular classic shows would you like to see get their reboot? We'll talk about it. And by the way, who's afraid of Roseanne Barr? Results from my unofficial, unscientific listener survey. That's all coming up. Also, Pruitt's problems. And we'll remember some luminaries they lost. And, of course, the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. That's all coming up. Love to get you in the mix, too. Are you listening live? It is Friday, April 6th, an early start, 8 a.m. out west, 10 a.m. central, 11 a.m. here in the east. And it's snowing. I know, it's April 6th. I said that right. Anyway, number in motion, 347-857-4505. Twitter feed bursting at the seams 24-7, so chime in when it works for you live or on podcast. Davey writes, social media maven Aurora in the booth with our producer Trudy Hart. They tell us the Facebook page and our PopNet chat box are open. So, you know what we always say, have at us, whatever way works for you, when it works for you. Show today is brought to you in part by Dunkin' Donuts. Enjoy that great Dunkin' Donuts coffee flavor where you buy groceries. Just pick up a bag and bring it home. Also by Old Navy, time to spring forward for great styles and savings at Old Navy. And our friends at PopNet, arts, culture, and conversation on air, online. PopNet features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show and those robust roundtables. We had one, no, make it two this week, so we've been busy, huh? Thanks for taking along for the solo ride. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., he only lived to 39, but wow, oh wow, did he make an impact on this world. He was assassinated April 4th, 1968, 50 years ago. They've been talking a lot in the media about his legacy, and it is a legacy of love and courage and persistence and aspiration. And we've got a long, you know, we've come a long way, right? But we also have a long way to go. But every day we have to strive to reach higher ground. Hopefully we'll get there. Thanks for joining us. I'm the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show.
Yeah. recognize that there are ties between us, all men and women living on the earth. Ties of hope and love, sister and brotherhood, that we are bound together in our desire to see the world become a place in which our children can grow free and strong. We are bound together by the task that stands before us and the road that lies ahead. We are bound and we are bound.
There is a feeling like the clenching of a fist. There is a hunger in the center of the chest. There is a passage through the darkness and the mist. And though the body sleeps, the heart will never rest.
Shed a little light, oh Lord.
Shed a little light, oh Lord.
So that we can see.
Oh, now.
Just a little light, oh Lord.
A little light, oh Lord.
Luther King on the Amy Beth Arkwright Show, Beauty from James Taylor, Shed a Little Light, and of course Stevie Wonder's classic Higher Ground. We're striving, right? And sometimes it's hard. I know it's hard not to be cynical or at least skeptical and maybe heartbroken a little bit in the way that we are living with the backlash of racism and all this stuff that's coming up out of the lagoon or the swamp that is Trump land these days. But there are lots of good people there. And lots of good ideals that we have to keep working towards and standing up for. And that's the positive. And the kids of Parkland are among those that have shed that light on all of us. So there is hope. There is a hope there. I really do believe that. But I know it's hard sometimes. It's tough when you have a young student being ridiculed by a grown woman who is a syndicated radio host and cable TV host, of course, the Laura Ingraham debacle on Fox News when she directly took on David Hogg, one of the young student activists who came out of that horrible Parkland massacre, being very derisive and dismissive because the young man mentioned, I think, on a couple of TV shows that he is going through what so many 17 and 18-year-old college high school seniors are going through, which is wading through the college letters, the acceptances and the rejections. And I think I did hear him talk on one show where he said, yeah, I've gotten a few rejections. He wasn't whining about it, but she decided to go to Twitter and say that this kid has the nerve to whine about it, that he didn't get into UCLA with a 4.1 average or whatever. The thing is, this kid, as so many of those Parkland kids are, and this is why I have some hope, very savvy. Didn't whine or complain or fetch about her saying this stuff. He took to social media and took on her advertisers, and they started to shed like a house of Persian cats. And what happened? She's on vacation, quote-unquote, a pre-planned vacation. That's always a precursor. Like Bill O'Reilly was on a pre-planned vacation and then didn't come back. We'll see if she comes back. She did apologize, but it took her 24, 25 hours to do so after a lot of advertisers had gone by the wayside, sort of a half-handed, half-assed apology. Oh, sorry if I offended anybody. And, of course, he should be. Everybody should be proud of that kind of a grade point average, et cetera. The point is, first of all, you're breaking rule one. Don't take on a kid. Rule two, don't take on a kid who just lived through a horrible massacre. You could disagree with his policies, what he's trying to purport, which to me, of course, being somebody who's not from the gun culture, are sensible background checks, sensible enforcements. But, you know, you can have your hair on fire on the fright wing with the idea that we can't possibly do anything to tamper with the Second Amendment, even though we might have been misinterpreting it all these years, too. That's in a whole other story. Disagree with his policies, but don't take him on personally. And don't be so derisive and so dismissive. You're a grown woman. You're a woman who's a mother, for goodness sakes. Not that that matters. People say, oh, she's a mother. Well, whether you're a mother or not, if you're a 50-plus-year-old person in a world, you just don't take on a 17-year-old kid, especially one who's been through what that young man and his friends have been through, regardless of how articulate he may or may not be. And that's why I have hope, because those kids are very articulate. Anyway, who knows about the fate of Laura Ingraham, but Fox News always says, yeah, they're taking a pre-planned vacation. Sort of like Donald Trump says about his EPA chief, Scott Pruitt. He's a fabulous guy doing a fantastic job. Where have we heard that before? Price, McMaster, all the people that have fallen by the wayside. On and on we go. We'll see what happens. But this guy Pruitt is a disaster. I mean, first of all, the ethical quagmire that he has sunk himself into are his own unforced errors. I mean, this business about living with a lobbyist apartment for a sweetheart deal of only $50 a night when he stays in town is crazy in Washington, D.C., where the hotel rooms run for $200 to $300 for a decent one. I think somebody's had a hostel, a youth hostel, that you can get for $50 or $70 a night or something. and people who were that he brought on without being authorized by the White House, all this kind of stuff. But the reason why he's a sweetheart of the Trump administration is because he's doing the bidding for the hardcore Republicans, rolling back all those regulations. He is making pollution great again. You think he had a problem with Flint, Michigan in the water? Let's see how many more Flint, Michigans we can create. He wants to roll back emissions standards, things that even the auto industry are not asking for. Let's just gift it. Let's just gift pollution back to the world. I do not get it. What about you? Twitter feed AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. And we'll go around the horn in a few minutes, but we're also talking about rebooting TV shows. Roseanne is out there. I want to talk about the whole Roseanne thing because, boy, do we get a big dust-up on social media about that. And, of course, there's Will and Grace, which I love. We'll talk about both of those. Murphy Brown is in the offing. And over the weekend, they had what I thought was a fine revival of Jesus Christ Superstar, one of those live NBC deals. The only complaint I have for that one, too many commercials. But boy, oh boy, John Legend, I think, was an inspired choice. And the guy who played Judas was great, too. So remembering those great shows and revising them. What's the deal with the revivals? Is it time? What's your take? Twitter feed AP Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. Yes, the chat box is open on PopNet and the Facebook page as well. Let's hear from you.
You Don't you get me wrong.
Don't you get me wrong.
Don't you get me wrong.
Don't you wanna know?
Don't you wanna know? quit just because we're wrong. We just keep doing the wrong thing until it turns out right.
Hold your head up. That's a great- Great sentiment. On the Amy Beth Argui Show, Argent, a forgotten 45 for Lou. Also, Mike Post doing Hill Street Blues theme. Hill Street Blues, one of the great shows that Stephen Bochco, the groundbreaking TV writer and producer, created. We lost him this past week at the age of 74. Wow, some great shows. Hill Street Blues, NYPD Blue, Murder One. What a great show that was. Doogie Howser, MD, among others. Stephen Bochco left behind some great work and really put the way we watch TV on its head. Also, The Vines from the I Am Sam soundtrack, doing a great version of the Beatles' I'm Only Sleeping. That one for the beleaguered Trump cabinet secretary, best of the worst of the worst, 2 or 3 weeks running a couple of weeks ago, but has been ousted big time by EPA Chief Scott Pruitt. Remember when Carson bought the $31,000 dinette set for his office at HUD while he was trying to cut the funding for the underprivileged? These people, they just get worse and worse, don't they? And Billy Joel, Sleeping with the Television On, a not-so-forgotten 45, kind of an album track, I guess. Anyway, for Lenny, thanks for chiming in. Murray Head 2 from their Jesus Christ Superstar original album. That was the big hit that rolled off it. Interesting that Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice, both young guys at the time, their first show was Jesus Christ Superstar. Tried to get it produced, could not do it in England or in the States originally. It became a concept album, and it was one of those things that I remember my older sister had the American Record Club, and we got, like, albums for, like, a dollar, and that was one of my entries. I played it over and over and over again as a kid. Loved it. Make my imagination wheels roll. But it's since become one of the most successfully produced rock operas, and they had a great version, a revival of it on NBC's Live installment last past Sunday. I think John Legend was an inspired choice, ethereal as Christ. I know there was some blowback where they said he wasn't really that great an actor. Well, for goodness sake, the whole thing was sung, first of all, and I think he did a good job because he has that quality. So I think it was inspired casting. And Brandon Victor Dixon was the gentleman who played Judas, a really well-trained, well-honed Broadway actor with all the chops to prove it, and that came through. He was the one who took over for Leslie Odom on the Hamilton cast. Sarah Bareilles was Mary Magdalene, and what a hoot it was to see Alice Cooper as King Herod. You knew that would be fun. They were all great, really. The only problem I had with that show was the commercials. It jolted you too much. They should have been able to find a way to have a break at the beginning and the end and just keep it commercial-free somehow, because it just kind of jolted it, I think, or had a regular intermission and just had a little longer break or something. Anyway, enough grousing on that, but I think it was quite an inspired choice, and I think a lot of folks really enjoyed it, so we'll see what the next one is. But that was a good one indeed. So we'll talk a little bit about TV and your whole deal with Roseanne and other shows that you'd like to see rebooted in a moment, but let's go around the horn because a lot of folks are talking about Scott Pruitt, and boy, oh boy, this guy is nuts. David writes in, Pruitt, why not ditch the $50 per night condo and move into your $30,000 soundproof office booth? Yeah, that's right. He put this phone booth in. That's soundproof office booth. I don't get it. And pipe in Exxon Air and Flint water on tap. Perfect. I'd love it, David. Perfect. Just perfect. I mean, really, the biggest problem with this guy is not so much his ethical lapses, though there are many of them, and that should be enough to get him the boot. But what's keeping him in place is because he's rolling back all these regulations that Trump and company want to see gone, things that are protecting us. Hello, I don't know why the environment, I don't know why clean water and clean air is a partisan issue. Republicans have to breathe and drink this, you know, breathe the air and drink the water too, don't they? That's my question. It just boggles my mind. really does bother my mind. Skullick says maybe Ed Henry should ask Trump about how he was going to drain the swamp and now that it has brought it up with Pruitt. I see. The draining the swamp thing was a real red herring. Yeah, actually, it's just, we live in opposite land. Trump says one thing, it means the other. No collusion? There was collusion. Believe me, can't. You know, that whole thing. You have to rearrange the way you work at things and why you're thinking it. Jara says, while this is extremely disturbing, it's completely consistent with Pruitt's behavior. He is consistently dismantling the EPA, exactly, which is exactly what he set out to do long before he was placed in the position. He was the one who, as the Attorney General of Oklahoma, I believe, was suing the EPA. And this is why it was outrageous that he got the gig to begin with. But that's what Trump did, because he wants to, quote, unquote, shake things up. Well, how is that shaking things up really working for folks? That's what I'd like to know. Fritzy on the PopNet chat box says, intriguing show, not a fan of Pruitt, not a fan of Trump, waiting for the impeachment deal to come through. People are always saying that, and I keep saying, hold your horses, kids. Not likely to happen, and certainly can happen until the midterms at the very least, and even then, who the heck knows? I don't know. But the former South Korean president was just sentenced to 24 years for embezzlement and bribery and some things, so it has been done in other countries. It was the first time it was done there, so maybe there's a first time for everything. Who knows? Back now. Have you watched the President's Show? I used to love that show. It was on every week, and then I guess it didn't get the greatest ratings after a while. It got great critical acclaim. It kind of disappeared. They had a Christmas special. They brought back a special just this past week. It was a marathon special, and I guess they're only going to do specials periodically. But it was crazy and bizarre. They brought on Kathy Griffin as Kellyanne Conway. You talk about inspired casting. That, I think, stole the show, but the whole thing was pretty funny. And it looks like Kellyanne Conway has been outed in a new book. I forget the name of it now. It's a new book. It's kind of a pro-Trump book, somebody who's definitely a Trump supporter. But he says that the biggest leaker in the White House is Kellyanne Conway. Now, they asked her about it on some show, and she says the president knows where the leaks are coming from. So that either means he doesn't care that she's leaking, or perhaps he's sanctioning it. Either way, her lips are never sealed. And anyway, her microwave is talking to her. Reach out. What's your take? Twitter feed, AP Wright, phone line 347-857-4505.
Mind your own business, will you?
Hey! Ho! Hey! Ho! Hey! Ho! Hey!
Distance schoolwork is ready. I was high as a kite. We're gathered round the kitchen table. Spread like a virus.
I never seen you looking so bad, my funky one. You tell me that your superfine mind has come undone. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major dude will tell you. Any major dude will tell you. Have you ever seen a squawk's tears? Well, look at mine. The people on the street have all seen better times. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more.
Classic for Eric on the Amy Beth Arguish Show. My Hawthorne, too, they got a kind of a Steely Dan vibe going. The stars are ours tonight. Go-Go's with the anti-Kellyanne Conway theme. Our lips are sealed. Mm-hmm. We'll send that one out to Bryn and Katie via Twitter today. Thanks, guys, for chiming in. Always a pleasure to chat with you gals, indeed. We're chatting about TV and Pruitt and et cetera. Roseanne was a big topic of the conversation last week with the premiere. Huge ratings, and Trump is a fan, of course, because he's taking credit for the ratings. Roseanne, apparently, on and off the show, is a Trump supporter. Now, I knew she was a Trump supporter on the show. I didn't realize how big a supporter Roseanne Barr actually was of Trump. Got a lot of blowback. We talked about it last week with people saying, I just can't watch the show because she said some horrible things. There was so much noise during the 2016 election, hers was drowned out for me, so I didn't hear hers. I know in 2012 she tried to run as the Green Party candidate, I think, and said some outrageous things. She's a bit of a kook, personally. I agree. But does the show have merit, and is it worth watching? And I think it is. And I gave it a shot last week. I gave it a shot this past Tuesday. Mixed results. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to keep trying. I was a fan of the original show up until the last season when they won the lottery and it kind of jumped the shark and they killed off Dan. But thankfully, he's back. Some of the jokes were funny. I think it's funny. I think it's well done. The cast has aged well. The writers are doing a good job so far. Again, it's uneven. My complaint about people in general, look, you don't have to watch it. And people said things like, I'm not watching it because of her despicable politics. I just don't like her. That's fine. Don't watch it. But that's the end of discussion for you about the show. You can't take the show on its merits if you're not looking at the show, is my point. So people who are saying, I'm boycotting it because it's pro-Trump, or I'm boycotting it because it's anti-Trump, are crazy. It's neither. It's both. Yes, Roseanne voted for Trump, but her sister Jackie did not, and the daughter did not, and there are other issues that come up. And I think it's what I like about the idea of this show working, if they can hold on to it and if it can sustain itself in terms of the quality of writing and acting. Mostly it's up to the writing because the acting is there. And the chemistry seems to be there with the characters and the actors. But is that it can bring people together possibly in terms of the conversation. You have both sides in a fictional world that you don't have in real life when we go to our echo chambers and we just don't refuse to listen to the other side. So let's listen to both sides. Let's be open to it. I think that we can maybe create some common ground. So I'm encouraged by that idea. I think the first show was good. I think the second show was good. A little heavy-handed with the gender identification issues. The last show, I don't know. The one on Tuesday with the granddaughter getting into some trouble and sassing Roseanne. Kind of fell short in spots. The comedy was a little uneven. But it's not going to be about politics. It's going to be really, I think, about politics will be infused in it, as it was in the original Roseanne as well. They took on social issues and political issues. But it's, at heart, it's about the family. So you got to stick with it to get all of that. So I'm encouraged by it. We'll see how it goes. It doesn't bother me that Trump likes it. It doesn't bother me that Roseanne Barr is a Trump supporter, although I know she said some outrageous things and she's spewing some controversial conspiracy theories, which make no sense, that she's subsequently taken down from her Twitter feed. I'm sure John Goodman, Laurie Metcalf, Sarah Gilbert, all those people are holding their breath. Here we go again. The first run, she was famous for being difficult on the set. Now she's just difficult in general. In the world, they have to deal with it. I get it, but it may be worth the watch anyway. That's my take. I don't know about yours, but let's see. I mean, I know a little bit about yours. We've been talking about it on PopNet and around social media the last week and a half, but let's see what other things are coming up. Missy says, if I wanted to watch a bunch of unhealthy, unattractive family members argue about politics in the Midwest, I go to my own family reunions. At least none of them have ever dressed as Hitler. Or like Hitler, I'm sorry. Roseanne, no thanks, she says. Yeah, I guess Roseanne Barr, did she dress as Hitler at one point? Yes, that's crazy. It's hard to defend certain things. But, you know, I'm not a big boycott fan. I had this discussion with somebody over on social media last week. I still watch some Woody Allen movies sometimes. You got to separate the art from me. And, again, I'm going to say you have to. It's for me. I don't mind doing that. Some people have a difficulty doing that, and that's your choice. We can't all watch everything. There are some things that are just not my taste. There are things that just don't interest me. I'm not going to watch them. But I'm not going to engage in a critical conversation about the content of that, which I'm not watching. See what I'm saying? Don't watch it. Boycott it if that's what you want to do, or just say it's not my cup of tea. That's fine. But don't expect to be able to join the conversation of analyzing and criticizing the content of that show because you're not watching it. It's like when the Catholic Church, say, says, I don't go to this movie, but they're not watching the movie. They can't talk to you about the content. They just think it has, quote-unquote, racy things in it or things that they don't want you to see. All right, you know, but you can't argue the content is my point. So a lot of folks, it's a mixed bag. Some people think liking it, loving it. It's, JB says, interesting how Roseanne just said spanking is okay, even though there was literally an episode of Roseanne all about her spanking DJ once back in the day, and she couldn't handle it because she knew that it was bad. Is this really the same show? Yeah, I remember that. And she was upset because she hit DJ, and then she remembered that her father had hit her, and now she was spanking her granddaughter. Interesting point, JB. That is true. Are they changing the rules here? So there was some uneven stuff and some questionable stuff on the last show, I think, with the spanking episode. Interesting, though, the casting of the daughter, I don't know the name of the girl, young woman who plays Darlene's daughter, but they look alike. It's a good casting, although she's much taller than Darlene. Sarah Gilbert. Very interesting, I think. It's an interesting premise, interesting things, comments throughout. Do we have some more Facebook comments? I know we have a bunch of those to get to. We have a lot of folks chiming in on their favorite show, but let's see. President's show, do we have anything on that? No. Trudy, give me the Roseanne comments. We don't have the Roseanne comments on Facebook anymore. Okay. Never mind. We'll be watching, so says Frankie on PopNet. I like her. I like the old show, and I think I will watch it again. Lorraine says, I boycott Roseanne the way I boycott Home Depot or NRA magazine. Her vitriol and ugliness during the election was so insane and such a gross display of trollery on a daily basis, I lost all respect for her as an artist and a comic. It wasn't just that she supported Trump and was vile about Hillary. It's the way she went after anyone who didn't agree with her. Okay, see, I missed all that. Somehow I missed the whole Roseanne deal. But I respect that, Lorraine, and you don't have to watch the show, but you really can't comment on it beyond that, I think. That's the take on some of the folks who are there. Chris says, sorry I didn't watch it. Her work makes me feel like I have a booger on my finger. Okay. Rob says, I watched it. It was pretty funny at times, but please note I wasn't a huge fan of the original, so I watched this with an unbiased eye. Okay, that's good. Roberta says, I enjoyed it. There was so much truth to it politically, and yes, Jackie is a life coach, but she's a life coach, in quotes, because I said Jackie's a life coach. I know, that's why I laugh, because as a coach, I understand the joke. She kept saying, I'm a life coach, I'm a life coach. Very funny indeed. I think it's funny, but you know what? It's not for everybody, and nothing is ever for everybody. That's all I'm saying. It's tough in TV or anything else to keep the customer satisfied. Here's a beauty from Simon and Garfunkel for Ray on the Amy Beth Orton Show.
It's great to be back home. Home is where I want to be. I've been on the road so long, my friend. And if you came along, I know you couldn't disagree. It's the same old story. Everywhere I go, I get slandered.
Long ride. I never knew that I could feel so black and blue. And I've been holding on to something now for some time. And all I know is it's a feeling fit for two. 'Cause when the sunlight laid its head down on this dark night, and I was talking to myself in the rear view. Yeah, I've got questions, but I know everything. And all I have to do is just remember you. 'Cause I'm never gonna lose you. I've got you deep inside my chest. And I can feel you beating like the soul of a drummer boy. I gotta keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. I'm carrying anybody's face. been free, I've been you, and I've been me. But now I stand up tall for what I believe.
On the Amy the Dark Lee Show. For Larry, thanks for chiming in. Also, Simon and Garfunkel, keep the customer satisfied. That from the great classic masterpiece, Bridge Over Troubled Water, another well-worn album in my day as a kid. Well, no, I'm dating myself, but that's okay. Good stuff indeed. So we're talking TV and the Roseanne reboot and what other shows you might want to see rebooted. Like we said, Murphy Brown is in the offing, I think, coming up soon. And some folks chiming in via social media and Facebook, a whole slew of folks. Bewitched, my favorite Martian, says Sucky. I Dream of Jeannie, Alf, Mr. Ed. Those are all interesting ones. I don't know about Mr. Ed. Would Ed be still around? I don't know. Chris says, how about the West Wing? Now, that would be fascinating. Are we talking about the Bartlett administration, or we'd have to jump, you know, to where we are now? Some other fictitious administration. We could live with that, right? Al says, I grew up on Lost in Space and looking forward to the Netflix reboot of that series. So Netflix says Lost in Space. This is a trend in the offing. And how about Friends and Mad About You? All good possibilities. We'll see what happens, as they say. As for Roseanne, we'll see. The jury is still out. So far, the ratings are high, and the cast is good. If they can keep the writing up, I think it's okay. Andrew says, I think the Trump folks will be surprised. It won't be a big support for them for long. Like I said, I think it's going to be a mixed bag. I think they're going to try to show both sides, which I think is actually healthy and good, and will make our conversation interesting, even if Roseanne is nuts herself. You know, that's okay. We can work with it, I think. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. If you're watching it, you keep me posted. We'll keep each other posted. If you're boycotting it, that's your choice. As I said, we all have choices. And let's do the Inspiration to Action Challenge success story before we sashay out of here. It's Glennie today in Santa Rosa, California. She says, I'm a big fan of your show, been listening for a few years now, did the challenge for a while, stopped, started again. I guess that's a story a lot of folks have. Yeah, I think it is, including me sometimes. But I'm back in doing it on a regular basis, and I think I'm going to start a memoir, maybe a novel, not sure, but you certainly re-sparked, revitalized my creativity, so thank you so much. Well, thank you, Glennie. I appreciate the letter. It's heartfelt, and you know what? It is a stop-and-start thing. It's always a daily deal. I say that. You got to face that page every day, and some days are better than others. Be kind to yourself, but be disciplined and work it. You know, don't be too kind to yourself. Don't be soft on yourself, but be kind when you fall off the wagon, if you know what I'm saying. If the Inspiration to Action Challenge has worked for you, please let us know, because I'd love to give you a shout-out. You deserve it. I also think, more importantly, you're pushing other people on. We're kind of here to encourage each other in that whole process. And on the other hand, speaking of which, if you need a little push in that direction, let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one is always on me. Give me a week or so to connect, and we'll do it. Send me a missive over at the website. It's Amy Beth Arkawy, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed, and we will connect. While you're there, you can peruse my stories, the Eliza Gordon Mysteries. Some other goodies are up for grabs. Chime in about your guest suggestion and big story requests on your Forgotten 45s, of course. And there's going to be a little promotion coming on Murder, She Tweets, the third installment in the Eliza Gordon Mystery Series. Look for your social media details on that this weekend. All right, we're going to sashay out of here. Thank you to TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth. No glitches and gremlins. ML headquarters, appreciate it. Thank you for joining us in real time. Don't forget, you can do so 24/7 at Twitter at AB Writes. Friend me on Facebook. Follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter at Radio Trudy. And you can follow the MBS Arc Week show archived. All the shows are archived as podcasts. BTR site, Mixcloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and NetNow. Be on the Listen Select Editions and Arts Radio Network and PopNet. All roads lead back to the website, amybethartqueek.com. I got it in. Meantime, drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the said Amy Beth Arkwee show. I'll leave you with a little nudge to Mama Nature. April showers from the fabulous Heftones. Enough of the snow. Bye-bye. Love y'all.
That land of gentle breezes where the peaceful waters flow. such a tiny window.